quite sure how long the presentation was going to be. So I spent a lot of yesterday paring down to maybe, you know, 12 minutes, three extra minutes. Maybe I'll tap dance, sing a song, yodel, who knows. I'll spare you that. But I might speak in a southern drawl to experiment with that. So I'll be talking today about the Expanded Syringe Access Demonstration Program, or ESAP program, in New York City, and focusing in particular on spatial access to ESAP sites. Before I begin, though, I want to acknowledge my wonderful co-authors, one of whom is sitting right here on my left, Don Desjarlais. So now, as in many U.S. states, laws governing access to sterile syringes have been evolving in New York State over the past few years. New York State actually has laws on its books that prohibit the purchase and possession of syringes without a prescription. But these laws have been evolving over time. They have been waived or amended over the past few years in order to curtail the HIV and HCV epidemics among local injectors. Most recently, they were amended to create the ESAP program. Now, under ESAP, pharmacies can volunteer to be sites where people can purchase up to 10 syringes at a time without a prescription. Now, ESAP seems to be an effective method of getting sterile syringes into injectors' hands. By 2003, about a quarter of injectors in one study reported that they had acquired their last syringe through an ESAP site. So this seems like it's a pretty effective method. The aims of this presentation are to describe spatial access to ESAP pharmacies in New York City health districts in 1 year, in 2006. To explore the relationship between the need for sterile syringes among injectors and spatial access to ESAP pharmacies across these districts, and to begin to explore whether district-level racial ethnic composition and poverty rates might shape the relationships of need to spatial access to ESAP pharmacies. Now, these aims are rooted in a couple of lines of research. First, and this is the case with most health services sites, spatial access to harm reduction sites shape utilization patterns. So Russell Rockwell and his colleagues found that injectors who live within a 10-minute travel distance of a syringe exchange program site are almost three times more likely to acquire syringes through that site compared to other injectors. Notably, though, Barbara Tempolsky and her colleagues found no relationship between need for a syringe exchange program and program presence in 96 large U.S. metropolitan areas. Now, this study suggests that spatial access to harm reduction programs is not linked to the need for such programs, which is really not what we want to see. So past studies have also concluded that pharmacies are less likely to dispense medications that are associated with illicit drug use, whether that's opioid analgesics or benzodiazepines, when they are located in predominantly non-white neighborhoods. Now, these findings lead us to ask whether local racial ethnic composition and local poverty rates might shape the relationship between need and spatial access to pharmacies that have chosen to enroll in the ESAP program. So let's turn to the methods. The unit of analysis here is the New York City Health District. There are 42 of them in New York City. Each district is created by aggregating adjacent zip code areas that have relatively similar sociodemographic characteristics. These are rather large geographic areas. So in the year 2000, the median population size across these districts was 200,000 people. These are big entities. We measured spatial access to ESAP pharmacies within these districts by using geospatial methods. I'm going to summarize these now, but if you have any questions, you're welcome to ask them later or email me with questions. We obtained ESAP pharmacy street addresses from the New York State Department of Health for the year 2006. We then geocoded these data, and all that means is that we identify the longitude and latitude point for each ESAP site. We applied something called kernel density estimation methods to these longitude and latitude points in order to estimate spatial access to ESAP pharmacies within each New York City health district. Now, briefly, kernel density estimation methods assume that spatial access to services is a function of three different parameters. The first parameter is the maximum distance that an individual will reasonably travel to reach a service site, and here that's an ESAP pharmacy. The second parameter is a Euclidean distance between a geographic point and each ESAP site that's located within that maximum travel distance. And the third parameter is a distance decay probability function, and this allows access to decline with increasing distance. We calculated spatial access to ESAP pharmacies from multiple points within each health district, and then we averaged the spatial access values for across these points within each district, and that allowed us to calculate district-level spatial access to ESAP sites. The resulting measure captures ESAP pharmacy density per square mile for each district. Now, ideally, we'd assess need in terms of the total number of injectors living in each health district, but of course, we don't have those data. So instead, we operationalized district-level need as the prevalence of newly diagnosed cases of injection-related AIDS per 10,000 residents in 2004. Racial ethnic composition and poverty rates were assessed using census data. We used exploratory data analysis methods and linear regressions to analyze the data. Now, just know as I'm speaking that these analyses are highly exploratory. They're preliminary because our sample size is at most 42, right? There are 42 health districts. Turning to the results, our first finding is that there is indeed substantial variation across New York City's 42 health districts in spatial access to ESAP pharmacies. The median ESAP pharmacy density per square mile across these districts in 2006 was about 12.3. This varied from a low of 2.2 in one district to a high of 83 in another. And I just have to say, I wanted to make this into a box and whisker plot, but I was thwarted, as I often am, by Office 2007. If you take anything away from this presentation, never upgrade to that. You may already know that. That might be redundant. Just to put that plug in. So next, we regressed our measure of local need on spatial access to ESAP pharmacies. And in this regression, we found that the magnitude of the relationship between these two variables was both quite low and also not statistically significant, as you can see here and here. So across all 42 districts in New York City, there appears to be no relationship between need and spatial access to ESAP pharmacies, and this echoes what Barbara Tempolsky and her colleagues found at a larger geographic scale across MSAs. In keeping with exploratory data analysis principles, though, we wanted to really get into the data themselves and to mine the data and to see what they could really tell us. So here's a plot of need on the x-axis and spatial access to pharmacies on the y-axis. And you can see why there is really no relationship, why statistical analyses found really no relationship between these two variables across these districts, right? It would be hard to fit a line here. But if you actually take a closer look at this scatter plot, three clusters of points emerge, right? In one cluster, which is circled in green, you have districts that have relatively low to moderate need and very high access to ESAP. In the red cluster down here, just these three little districts over here, these are districts that have very high need but low access. And then you have the other districts that fall in between. Now, you can't see this from the plot, but we know that the red cluster is comprised of some of the poorest and least white districts in the city. In contrast, the green cluster includes some of the wealthiest and some of the whitest districts in the city. So this scatter plot certainly suggests that racial ethnic composition and poverty rates matter. So we reran our analyses to test for a possible interaction between need and local racial ethnic composition. And our interaction term was created by multiplying our continuous measure of injection-related AIDS prevalence in the different districts by a dichotomous variable that equaled 1 when over 41% of the residents were non-Hispanic white in a district and 0 otherwise. And 41% was chosen as our cut point because it's the median value on this variable across the districts. Now, these analyses indicate that the relationship between need and ESAP pharmacy access does indeed vary by racial ethnic composition. You can see that from this interaction term. But we wanted to probe these analyses a little bit more to get some meaning from the data. Here we're stratifying, in this slide, we're stratifying our sample by racial ethnic composition. When we do that, what we find is that adding one newly diagnosed case of injection-related AIDS per 10,000 residents is associated with a 21-unit increase in ESAP pharmacy access in the districts where over 41% of the residents identify as non-Hispanic white. In contrast, adding one such case in the less white districts is only associated with a 4.5-unit increase in spatial access to ESAP pharmacies. So that's a pretty big difference in the slopes, right? You really don't want to see that when you're looking at, if you're thinking of equity. We were also interested in the role of poverty as well, right? Now, we don't, of course, have the statistical power with a sample size of 42 to test for a three-way interaction among need, racial ethnic composition, and poverty, much as I would like to. But we can begin to explore this interaction through a series of stratified analyses. So here, what we're doing in this slide is we're focusing on the districts where over 41% of the residents identified as non-Hispanic white, and we're stratifying the sample by whether or not the poverty rate in a district is more or less than 15%. And the 15% cut point for poverty is simply the median value for poverty rates across these 21 districts. What we find here is that the magnitude of the relationship between need and access appears to be stronger in the health districts that are less impoverished than it is in the districts that are more impoverished, right? So specifically, for every additional newly diagnosed case of injection-related AIDS per 10,000 residents, we see a 33-unit increase in spatial access to ESET programs in the less poor districts, but only almost a 13-unit increase in access in the poorer districts. Now we're looking at, we're turning to the districts where less than 41% of residents are non-Hispanic white. Now, in contrast to the prior analyses where we used basically a median split for poverty rates to look at the impact of poverty rates on the relationship of need to access, here what we're doing is we're kind of following the cues of the data. We looked at a scatter plot of need to access within these particular districts, and what we found is that there's actually, you have 18 of these districts are following a pretty straight line, right, in the scatter plot, but there are three that are following the beat of a different drum. Those are the districts that we saw earlier. They're circled in red. They're very, very high need, very low access, and they're also the poorest districts in New York City. So what we did was we pulled those three districts out of the analysis. And, of course, we can't look at the relationship between need and access within those three districts. There's no power. But we can in the remaining 18 districts. And what we find in those 18 districts is that a one-unit increase in need is associated with an almost 9-unit increase in spatial access to ESAP pharmacies. So these measures and their analysis are subject to several limitations. First, our measure of spatial access to ESAP pharmacies ignores public transportation patterns, right? We focus on Euclidean distance, and that means that we were not paying attention to things like buses and subways. These might be quite influential. We're trying to redo our analyses so we can, in fact, take those things into account, but it's a little bit difficult. We've also ignored, when we created these measures, the fact that many injectors get their syringes outside of their neighborhood. This threat might be countered a little bit by the fact that the health districts are very large, so it's possible that someone might leave their neighborhood to go to a pharmacy in another neighborhood, but still be located within their health district. That's something that we can explore. Now, our need measure is really a proxy, right? Ideally, we'd have data on the number of injection drug users in each health district. We don't have that, so we use data on newly diagnosed cases of injection-related AIDS. Those two things might not map perfectly onto one another, so we reanalyze the data with a different measure of need. In those analyses, which were parallel to the ones I just described, our measure of need was drug-related hospitalization rates within each district. What we found there is actually an identical pattern of relationships to what I just showed you, right? So what's heartening to me is that our findings appear to be robust across the two different measures of need, and that speaks to potentially to the validity of our findings. Again, there were only 42 districts, and so that means that with a small sample size, we couldn't control for a range of possible confounders. Right, so that's a limitation to keep in mind. So keeping those limitations kind of on the front burner, what our data suggests is that there are indeed substantial variations in spatial access to ESAP sites across New York City health districts. They also suggest that the relationship between need and access is stronger in the whiter districts. Possibly the relationship between need and access is also determined by local poverty rates, but those conclusions are a little bit more tentative given our sample size. Now, these are preliminary results, but what they suggest is quite troubling. And they're troubling because they violate principles of equity. Right? The relationship between need and access should not vary according to racial ethnic composition or according to local poverty rates. These findings are also troubling because HIV and AIDS prevalences are higher in communities that are poorer and also that are home to lower percentages of non-Hispanic white residents. The current pattern of ESAP access in New York City prevents this program from redressing this disparity as much as it could. So just, you know, taking a few minutes to reflect on these findings and think about what might be causing them. Clearly, additional research needs to be done. These are very preliminary, but if additional research substantiates these findings, one causal interpretation might be that there are simply more pharmacies in the whiter districts and also in the less poor districts, right? It's also possible that pharmacies located in these districts are more likely to enroll in the ESAP program. Remember, this is a voluntary program right now. To redress these inequities that were found in these analyses, the Department of Health could reach out to pharmacies that are located in the underserved districts and encourage those pharmacies to enroll in the ESAP program. They could also consider adding syringe exchange sites to the underserved districts. And just in closing, I'd like to acknowledge our funding sources, all of which come from NIDA, and the government bodies that so kindly shared their data with us. And I think we're taking all questions at the end. Yeah, so I'm looking forward to those.
Next speaker is Amanda Rondinelli.
How do I get out of there? Do you know how to get out of here?